It's been a while. But yeah, really, the presence of God in your church this morning, I can really sense his presence. It's beautiful. Don't take it for granted. Amen. There's some churches you can go and you won't find the presence of God there. And so I thank God for that. Lord God, we're grateful for your presence in this place. May you continue to stir up the hunger of the people for more of you. And may you meet their expectation. And Father, as I minister the word this morning and share what I believe you've put on my heart for this people, I really ask that you would speak to each and every person, Lord. You would speak to them, whether you use my words, whether you use the Holy Spirit, and that you would do something precious in the lives of these people today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Pastor Mike asked if I would come, and he said that it was your Thanksgiving service. And so this morning, what I want to speak about is to do with that. The title of my message is Spiritual Positioning, and we're going to be talking about the position of Thanksgiving. So spiritual positioning, and we're going to be speaking about the position of Thanksgiving. And before I get into my introduction, I just remembered my husband sends his love. He's not preaching this morning. He's got Sunday off. Pastor Vim is preaching in our church, but he said please to send his love to y'all. So, amen. Okay, so spiritual positioning. How many of you know that in life, positioning is important? So I'm going to start by explaining what I mean by spiritual positioning, and then we're going to explore the position of Thanksgiving. But how many of you know that positioning is important? For instance, how many of you are cyclists? I know Pastor Mike is a cyclist. I've done cycling. I love cycling. But when you get a new bike, what's the first thing you do? You take it for a bike fit, right? Because you need to be positioned right on your bike to get the maximum you can out of that bike, and so you don't get injured, right? Positioning is important. How many of you are familiar with the saying, you have to be present to win, right? If you want to be a part of a race, but you don't show up at the start, well, you've just lost already. You have to be present to win. If you want to receive something from God on Sunday, probably you need to be present at church, right? Yes, we can all have our quiet time at home, but the Bible is clear that we're not to forsake the gathering together of the brethren. So God does stuff corporately, so we have to be present to win, right? So whatever that means in the moment, you have to show up. You have to be present. You have to be positioned aright to receive, right? I remember a number of years ago watching one of our boys play soccer. It was actually our middle son, and he was in junior school, and he was playing a forward. And I remember they were right at the back. He kicked the ball up to another forward, and I was like, run up, Jays, you got to follow it up, because, you know, his other forward needed support, right? And I remember looking at him, and he just slowed to a walk, and the set of his shoulders and how he was walking, it just showed me that he didn't actually believe that they were going to score a goal. And guess what? They didn't score a goal, because this poor forward had no support. He was up there on his own. He lost the ball. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that point, and he said, belief positions you aright for the next move, right? So how we positioned, yes, physically, but how are we positioned in our heart and in our mind will affect how we position ourselves and whether we'll actually do what God wants us to do. Amen. Spiritual positioning, it's so important, right? So we need to continually be checking ourselves that we positioned aright for God's next season in our lives. We positioned aright for whatever God is wanting to do. And especially that our heart disposition is positioned aright. How many of you know that if I am not in belief, if I am not in faith in my heart disposition, inevitably I'm not going to receive what God has for me, right? Positioning is so important. And no one can position me for myself. Your pastors can't position you for yourself. I have to position myself. That is my responsibility. I have to position myself in prayer each day. I have to position myself in the word each day. I have to take responsibility for my heart and position my heart. Authority is another example. of spiritual positioning. I need to understand when I am under authority and when I am in authority, right? Because if I'm under authority and I act like I'm in authority, I'm going to open myself up to unnecessary warfare. I'm going to open myself up to unnecessary challenges. So I have to know how to position myself. The Bible says in James 4 verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, the problem in the church is that people don't know about authority and submission. God's authority works. He delegates authority. So all authority is delegated. So I receive authority to resist the devil when I'm submitted to authority. If I ain't submitted to authority, there ain't no devil gonna run from me because I ain't got no authority, right? So positioning is so important, and knowing how to position ourselves. And at this point, I'm going to mention this because I've got the mic and I don't pastor this church. Hebrews 13 verse 17, it says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you. For they keep watch over your souls and continually guard your spiritual welfare as those who will give an account of their stewardship of you. Let them do this with joy and not with grief and groans, because this would be of no benefit for you. So you know what? Don't make these two. You guys are so blessed. Today's a Thanksgiving service, right? You guys can give thanks for these two beautiful people. Their hearts are so awesome. They're so faithful. They're so diligent. They're so humble. They're so committed to doing things right. They're so integrous. You just have to look around the body of Christ for a while to notice that you guys are blessed. So when people speak ill of them, you don't just be quiet and watch and listen and think to yourself, well, I'm not saying anything. I didn't say that. No, you stand up for them. You pull the dagger out of their backs. You cover them, right? And make it easy for them. If they say, this is the way we're going, just submit yourself. Say, okay, I'm not the pastor. I'm going to submit myself. Why? Because I want the authority when I pray, right? They say, we're going in this direction. Don't go to your people and say, well, you know what? I hear God, and I didn't hear God say that. I believe God is saying this. And then you start sowing division, right? That's not your place. Spiritual positioning, it's so important. How you position yourself. How you position yourself. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 3 says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we're talking about spiritual positioning still, right, people? Okay. So this is a truth about your and my spiritual position in Christ. We have died. Our life is hidden with Christ. That's the truth. But how many of you know that if I continue to persist in habitual sin, that I'm not living out this truth in my life, and I will invite all sorts of demons into my life? And you can't just say, no, well, this is the truth. I've died and my life is hidden with Christ, so I'm protected. Yes, you're protected as long as you walk in obedience to his word. As long as you choose to continue to partner with unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever your pet sin is, you're going to have issues, right? So we need to look at this and say, yes, I agree with this. Now I'm going to position myself in accordance with this truth. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 6, we're still talking about spiritual positioning. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our spiritual position as believers is we've been raised with Christ. We're seated with him in heavenly places, a position of victory and acceptance. That's your and my spiritual position. You know what F.B. Meyer writes about this? He says, in the purpose of God, we've been raised from the grave of sin and are seated with the risen Lord in the place of acceptance and victory. Only the pity is that we do not believe this or act as if we had done so. So we got to believe and walk in what God has bought for us, walk and live from a position that he's already told us is ours. Spiritual authority and protection in submission to his word, right? Spiritual positioning, so important. The disposition of my heart, the disposition of my mind, how I show up in the spirit realm. How many of you know that in the spirit realm that demons can see? We have five spiritual senses, just like we have five natural senses. So taste, touch, sight, hearing, and what's the other one? Smell. So those are spiritual senses that we can cultivate. But we're not the only spirit beings. They're also demons and angels, and they also see. And how you show up in the spirit realm, they can also see. So spiritual positioning, how I show up, it's important, people. It's really important. Are you hidden in God or are you spiritually exposed? What do the demons see when they look at you? Are they watching and they're thinking, this one's a ticking time bomb. I can see this one has an issue with pornography and lust. I'm just going to wait and watch. Because at the right time, I'm going to flick the switch and they're going to kaboom like a bomb. We have to be aware of these things, right? So today, as we're talking about spiritual positioning, I'm wanting to talk about being positioned in thanksgiving. And what happens when we walk and we live from a place of being positioned in thanksgiving? Do you want me to unpack that a bit for you? It's one of the most powerful positions that we can take before God, a position of thanksgiving. And I'm not just saying having good manners. That's not what I'm talking about. Because we can all say thank you with our mouths and we pay lip service. But in our hearts, we're grumbling. Right? We say thank you to our spouse, thank you. But inside, we're like, but you didn't do this and you didn't do this and you didn't do this. We do the same thing with God, you know. Okay, Lord, we're instructed to thank you in your word, so thank you. Meanwhile, our hearts are saying, you know what? I've prayed that prayer, you didn't do that. I asked you for this, you didn't do that. And by the way, they did that to me and you let them do that. And in our hearts, we can be critical towards God and accusatory. We're not in a position of thanksgiving, right? So we got to make sure that our heart and our mouths line up. That's when we're spiritually positioned. And thanksgiving is a spiritual key that positions us in faith. Because how many of you know that if I'm in a place of thanksgiving and remembering what God has done and thanking him for what he's done, it's a whole lot easier to be in a position of faith. Amen. If I'm in a place of thanking God, Lord, I thank you. Yes, I've gone through ankle surgery, shoulder surgery, spinal surgery. I've gone through multiple injections, broken ribs. I've gone through these things. It's terrible. Lord, I don't understand, but I thank you, Lord, that Romans 8 verse 28 says that you will use all these things for my good. And somehow, Lord God, I can't see right now what you're doing in my life necessarily, but I know that at the end of it, like Joseph did at the end, I will see your hand. And so, Lord, I choose to thank you, not for all these things because I'm not grateful for them, but I thank you for your hand in the midst of it. I thank you, Lord, that you are still the Alpha and the Omega. You are still the beginning and the end. You still uphold my whole life. You are still going to bring something beautiful out my life. You're still going to use it for, can you see? Place of thanksgiving is not a place of denying the reality of the situation. You know, I'm not the Bible doesn't say thank God for every terrible thing. No. I'll thank God in everything because there's something to thank God for in everything. Hey, I'm here, right? I'm standing. Before I had my spinal surgery, I wouldn't have been able to stand this long. I couldn't stand for longer than 20 minutes. I couldn't go to the shops because I would have to sit in the line at the till because I couldn't stand long enough. So I'm standing. There's progress. I can thank him for that. Is it easy? No. Is it painful? Yes. There's something that we can thank God for. Hey, I have a roof over my head. I have a husband who's faithful. The amount of counseling that he does and the amount of marriages that are on the rocks and men and women that are cheating, that's something I can be grateful for. He's a good man. He's God-fearing. He's faithful to me. I'm grateful. He prays. I'm grateful. He hears God. I'm grateful. My three boys are doing well. I'm grateful. I have food on my table. I'm great. I have shoes. I have clothes. I'm grateful. There are so many things if we stop we pause, there's so many things we can be grateful for. And if you can't think of anything in your life to be grateful for, just go to His Word. Just go to His Word. Ephesians, the first half of Ephesians is doctrinal truths. Everything that He's done for us, given us, just start there. Begin thanking Him from the Word. Go to Psalm 23. Father, I thank You that You are my shepherd. That You bring me before beside still waters. You restore my soul. Amen. And even when, not if, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and staff to protect and guide me. Amen. You will anoint my head with oil. In the presence of my enemies, He prepares a table. In the presence of my enemies, they're enemies, people. What are your enemies? We can still give thanks to God. Lord, I thank You that goodness and mercy will pursue me and overtake me all the days of my life. That is my portion. That's how I'm choosing to position my heart. It's a powerful place in the Spirit. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from our Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Come on, what is good in your life? I don't care who it looks like it came from in the natural. The Bible tells me that everything good in my life is from my Father in heaven. So, Father, I thank You for my marriage. Father, I thank You for my children. Some people don't have children. They can't. Father, I thank You, Lord God, for my purpose. I thank You that I have purpose in You. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for the provision for my sats. It's expensive. He provided. Amen. What has God done for you? What has He, has He given you a job? Has He given you a means for provision? Has He given you a business? Perhaps He's given you a talent. Perhaps it's what you can do with your hands. What do you find easy to do that others can't do? Give Him thanks for that. Maybe He's given you a skill. Maybe He's given you an ability that He hasn't given someone else. Give Him thanks for that. Let Him use that to bring income to your life. Amen. Everything good is from our Father in heaven, and we can give Him thanks. You see, when we acknowledge God, when we begin to give Him thanks, it takes our eyes off the lack. It takes our eyes off what we don't have. And you know what? Everybody experiences something that they don't have that they would like, because that's our human nature. As soon as we get the thing we wanted, we're already thinking about the next thing, right? So when we give thanks, it reminds us this is who He is. This is what He's done. It's a place of positioning ourselves. And it's a powerful position, because my faith begins to rise. My eyes begin to focus on God, on who He is, on what He's already done. And because of what He's done, I know that there's so much more that He can do. Amen. It's a powerful position to be in God. The first thing I'm wanting to share about the position of thanksgiving is there's something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving that brings us into the presence of our King. You know, there's protocol in the kingdom. There's a protocol. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, you know? So the Bible says in so many places in the New Testament, we're supposed to mix our prayers with thanksgiving. And it says in Psalm 100, and I love this scripture, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. It's the protocol in the kingdom. You want to feel His presence in your time of prayer? Begin with thanksgiving. Don't roll out of bed and begin with your shopping list of everything you want Him to do for you. Lord, you know, I just want to remind you, this is the first thing you say to Him. Lord, I just want to remind you that I need to pay school fees, that it's due at the end of today, actually, like God didn't know. That's how you come into His presence. Lord, I just want to remind you that my petrol tank, it's running low. I don't have money. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. Psalm 95:2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Gratitude is our entry pass into His courts, into His presence. So let me rather roll out of bed in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father, that you are my Father, that you are my source and my sustainer and my nourisher and my provider. Thank you, my Father, that you have kept me all these years. That, Lord God, yes, we might have been a bit late according to the school, but we have always covered the school fees. I thank you, Father, that you've provided for this family thus far. I thank you, you've always provided for me transport-wise. Even if I haven't understood your timing, Lord, because sometimes your timing feels a bit late for me and my comfort. But Lord, I choose to thank you this morning and acknowledge that you'll come through for me. I know you will. You see the difference? We've got to value his presence that we're willing to do it the way the Bible teaches us to do it. You know, we have prayer meetings, Zoom prayer meetings, pretty often during the week in our church. And a protocol that we have is we start with Thanksgiving. Yes, we have a list of prayer requests and items and themes, but we spend the first 20-odd minutes or so in Thanksgiving. No prayer requests. We start with Thanksgiving. When we have our time of weeks of prayer and fasting, the first day, we give thanks. Right? It's appropriate. Incorporate it into your life. Perhaps you want to have a day of Thanksgiving every week where your prayer time consists solely of Thanksgiving. Try it. Maybe you want to set aside time in your time of prayer and fasting, and I hope that you have a strategy for growth in your prayer and fasting. But as you do that, where you set aside and say, this is my time of Thanksgiving because God is worthy of that. Amen. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. There's something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving which positions us in his presence. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing that I'm not willing to do that will bring me into his presence. It's a small thing, right? Something about thanksgiving brings us into his presence. Something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving multiplies what we have in our hands. Matthew 15, 32 to 38. This is the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. And Jesus calls his disciples to himself and says, I have compassion on these people. They've been with me for 3 days. They haven't eaten anything. And I don't want to send them away hungry because they might faint. And his disciples are like, where are we going to get enough bread to feed all these people? And Jesus said to them, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? I'm asking you. What do you have in your hand? You might say, well, I don't have enough for my situation, but I'm asking you this morning, what do you have in your hand? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few fish. He commanded the people to sit down. He took the 7 loaves and fish. He gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples. And they gave to the multitude. And everyone ate and was filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of the leftovers. There were 4,000 men, not counting children and women and children. So what do you have in your hand? And what's your excuse? Because Jesus gave thanks. You see, I believe thanksgiving, it positions us in faith. And that's the miracle. That's where the miracle happens, right? We see it again in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. This is in John 6. And a great multitude followed him. And they followed him because they saw the signs that he did. And Jesus went up on a mountain and sat with his disciples. And he saw the multitude and he said to his disciples, well, he said to Philip, actually, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he already knew what he was going to do. And the Bible says that he was testing Philip. And Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may eat. And Simon Peter's brother, said to the Lord, there's a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they? So what do you have in your hand? And you might look at it and say, well, Lord, what is this? What can I do with this? But it doesn't matter what's in your hand. It matters the God who you serve. The God to whom you pray. The God that you're willing to give thanks for what you have in your hand because he's put it there. Amen. And if he's put it there, it's enough. Amen. And Jesus said, make the people sit down. So the men sat down, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the fish. And the people had as much as they wanted, and they gathered up the fragments, and they filled 12 baskets. So I want to ask you, where was the miracle? When did it happen? I don't know, but Jesus gave thanks. And in his giving thanks, he must have been positioned somewhere in faith, right? And so there's something about thanksgiving. There's something about being in a place of thanksgiving that unlocks faith, that multiplies what is in my hand. Thanksgiving is a powerful position to be in. Jesus thanked the Father for the little, and the overflow followed. And, you know, people look at Jesus here and they think, oh, well, he was God. Yes, he was God, but he was 100% man. 100% man. Jesus thanked the Father for the little, and the overflow followed. So when we position ourselves in gratitude, it helps us to be in faith, and it helps to multiply what we have in our hands. What we place in his hands with gratitude, he can bless and he can multiply. Amen. Being positioned in thanksgiving. Number three, something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving unlocks a new dimension of healing. What time shall I end, Pastor Mike? 5:11. Okay. Luke 17, verse 11 to 18, and I heard this being mentioned earlier, was when Jesus was met by 10 lepers, and they cried out and they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he said, go show yourselves to the priests. He healed them physically, right? And so they went, and one of them came back praising God with a loud voice and gave thanks to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan, hey? He was a foreigner. And Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was none found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? In verse 19, he says to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And some people say that well has made you well. He's not talking about only the physical healing. He's talking about receiving salvation and eternal life. So there's something about giving thanks that unlocks a new dimension, because the other 9 didn't receive this from Jesus, right? He received something more when he came back to say thank you and acknowledge God. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's always come back to God and say thank you. You know, perhaps there's a test in there. There's a test where it's like, okay, well, if you come back, there's more. But if you don't, you're obviously satisfied with what you have. Let's come back and say thank you to the Lord. I love the scripture in Psalm 107, verse 20 to 22. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Come on. If God has done something for us, let's come back and say thank you. If God has answered your prayer, come back and say thank you. You know, come back and say thank you. Many receive, few return in thanksgiving. Perhaps there's something more in the thanksgiving. Amen. Something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving brings life where there'd been death. Now, I'm wanting to share from John 11:37 about Lazarus. Right, and to give you the context for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole passage. Lazarus had been really ill, and Lazarus had 2 sisters, you're probably aware of this, Mary and Martha, and they had sent for Jesus, and they said, Jesus, come, our brother is really sick, we need you here, you know. It looks like he's going to die. I'm paraphrasing and adding my own spice. So Jesus, when he got this message, he decided to delay another 4 days. Come on, how many of you feel like that happens to you? Like, Lord, I asked you for this. And now the time is gone. And you missed the boat, Lord. And this is how Mary and Martha felt. Because when Jesus eventually showed up, Lazarus had passed away. And both sisters independently said the same thing to him. They said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You can hear in their hearts. They're like, we thought you loved us. Like, where were you? Did you know this was happening? Like, where are you for me? Like, questioning. And we find ourselves in that position too. And some of the people said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Come on, some of us feel like this. Lord, we fasted and we prayed for that person, but they passed away. What happened? Was it my faith? Was it your ears? Was it my prayers? Like, what actually happened? And this is where they were at. And Jesus says to Mary, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You see, the problem is most of the time we want things on our timeline. We want things on our terms. In fact, we would quite like to stand up in heaven and counsel God on exactly how we should do his job. Exactly the timelines that we would like him to follow. And exactly how we would like him to come through to our prayers that we prayed because we were in the situation and we think we know better than him. But God is God, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts, and vice versa. His ways are not our ways are not his ways. In John 11, I'm going to read it. Then Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb where Lazarus was. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, being completely logical, concrete, literal, which I am, so I get it. Concrete, literal. She's like, Lord, by this time, 4 days later, there's going to be a stench because you came. See, you know, the brackets there in the parentheses, what she's not actually saying is because you came late. But there's going to be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days, Lord. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and listen to this. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Wow. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this on account of these people standing, that they may believe that you sent me. And he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Before calling Lazarus forth, Jesus thanked the Father. His gratitude preceded the miracle of resurrection. There was something about him positioning himself in gratitude that was part of that miracle, right? I think in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of grief, loss, bewilderment, if we can bring our hearts into a place of thanksgiving, that is the place where we'll begin to see new life. That is the place where we begin to see our breakthrough. That is the place where we begin to see hope. That is the place where we begin to see God's fingerprints. And even if we can't see God's fingerprints, it's okay. We just hang on to his character, right? We just keep thanking him for his character and for his word, which will never fail until we see the new dawn, right? That's the power of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not for everything, okay? We don't have to deny the terrible things, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And in my notes, and I'm not going to go there because of time, but if you look at Jonah, in Jonah 1, 17 to 2, verse 10, there's a whole prayer that he prays to God, and at the end of the prayer, he says, but with a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited him out on the dry land. So there was something there about him coming to a place of saying, all these terrible things are around me. I feel like I'm about to die. But Lord, I will do what I said I will do and I will offer thanksgiving. And then the Lord spoke and that was the breakthrough for him. There's something about thanksgiving, something about thanksgiving that brings forth new life, that brings forth a new day, something about being positioned there for us, something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving results in God's peace. That's why it says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. A different translation will say, do not worry, but in everything, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's something about being positioned in thanksgiving as we come to pray that results in his peace guarding our hearts and minds. So you are anxious. So the secret for you is to be in a place of thanksgiving. If you are anxious, bring those anxious thoughts before God and position them in the middle, sandwich them in thanksgiving in your prayer. And that is a key to unlock supernatural peace. Amen. Something about positioning ourselves in thanksgiving helps us to see very quickly. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8, it speaks about, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He shall not see any good come. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves will remain green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, will not cease to bear fruit. There's something about trusting in God. There's something about trusting in God that helps me to see aright. I cannot be in trust of God all the time unless I'm in a place of thanksgiving. Amen. When I'm thanking God, I'm remembering what he's done. It helps me to trust in God. So these things are so interlinked, right? Thanking God for who he is, for what he's done, it helps me to trust him. When I'm in that place, I begin to see aright. Ephesians 1 says that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. We need to see aright, people. Thanksgiving helps us to see aright because it reminds us what God has done. It reminds us who he is. It reminds us that he is God and we are not. Amen. You can have the notes. I'm going really quickly right now. I think this is the last thing that I'm going to say. 2 Kings 6 verse 13 to 18 is an example of this, of how we see and what we see. Because in this particular account, Elisha the prophet has been able to identify the strategy of the enemy before they set it in place. And the king of Syria, who's the enemy, is frustrated and he wants to go and seize the prophet. And he's told that he's in Dothan, so he sends horses and chariots and a great army there. And when the servant of Elisha rose in the morning, he saw the horses and chariots of the enemy and was terrified and overwhelmed. And he goes to Elisha and he's terrified, and Elisha, and he says, what shall we do? Right? And Elisha says to him, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He was at peace. He knew who his God was. The secret to being and remaining in that place, I believe, is being continually a discipline of being in a place of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. You've always come through. Father, I thank you, and I know that your word says this. Father, I know this is what you've done before, and you're faithful. Being in that place, and Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw something different. And he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire of the Lord. And when the Assyrians came down against him, Elisha prayed the Lord and said, strike this people with blindness. And so he struck them with blindness. Because you see, warfare is about who's blinded and who's confused. And very often, if we're in a place of fear and anxiety and we're not in a place of thanksgiving and peace, we're not going to see aright. Very easy for the enemy to move us into a place of fear and intimidation, a place where we don't see aright, a place where we can't see what God's plan is, where we're not able to recognize his fingerprints. But when we continue in a place of a position of thanksgiving, we're remembering who he is, remembering what he's done, remembering that he's faithful, remembering his promises, we can begin to see aright. Amen. I've got 2 minutes left. I'm going to pray with those 2 minutes. Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to move ourselves and position ourselves into a place, a position where we see aright, a position where we're continually giving thanks for the good things that you've given us, our Father. And Lord God, this morning, I want to thank you for Pastor Fadzai and Pastor Michael. Lord, as a church, won't you stretch forth your hands? As a church, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for this precious couple. We thank you for the hours and the ministry and the river and the prayers and the word and the counsel and the wisdom, Father, and the sacrifice from them. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Come on, pray with me in agreement. We thank you, Father, that you reveal yourself to them as God.